And today we have a special speaker. I'm looking forward to Brother Darrell bringing the message today. So, Brother Darrell, give him a big hand.
You're very true. It's very true. This is not what I normally do. When the pastor asked me to do it, I'd normally say no. But for some reason, I said, yes, I'll do it. But as soon as I said, yes, I'll do it, I had that confirmation that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Amen.
So this morning we are going to rely on God's help. If I'm the only one you hear this morning, you will go away sad and dry, probably. But it's the Holy Spirit that enables us to live. The title of my message, I don't ask if I had a title, and I told him no. And at that time, I wasn't sure what the title would be. But the title of my message would be Fire. And I don't run for the exits, but Fire is the title of my message today. And as I got to thinking about fire, and that's quite a commodity. What all does fire do? What's the benefit of fire? Well, I had quite a list that I made up of what we use fire for. It's maybe the most useful tool that mankind has been given. Survival is definitely one of the things that is included in fire. Cook your meats, sterilize. I mean, just think of all the things that fire is used for. We sang the little song, This Little Light of Mine. And the scripture talks about putting it under a basket. It says a light set on a hill will be seen. It's not going to be hidden. What kind of light did they have in Jesus' time? Did they run to the wall and flip the switch? No. Fire was their light. So you had to be careful how you use this light. How much light do you get by just getting a twig and lighting it? Do you get very much light? Maybe you could read something very close, but you wouldn't set that on the hillside. You wouldn't use that to light a room. They used lamps. The light that was given off by the lamp was really only as good as the fuel that was burning. If the fuel was diluted, mixed with water, had something else in it, you wouldn't have a very good light. Another verse of scripture that comes to mind is Jesus said, "You are the light of the world." What kind of fuel runs your light? Is your fuel contaminated? Does it give off a lot of smoke? That's one of the things I noticed on the farm. You had, fuel that was mixed with other things. You may get a lot of smoke, from that fuel. And if you weren't careful, it would go out because it wasn't a good fuel. Most of the fuel used in Jesus' time was, I understand, olive oil. Olive oil was processed how? crushing olives. If olives had nerves, do you think they'd be in pain? Another process of life that seems to bring a good deal of benefit is trouble, pain. Another verse of scripture that, and then there's several in nearly all the Gospels, but in Luke chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, is talking about John the Baptist is saying he baptized with water, but there's one coming after him whose shoes John was not really on the level to even tie his shoes. But he says he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Now, most of the scholars that I've listened to use the Holy Spirit and fire as kind of synonymous. Another place in Scripture says you'll be baptized with water and with fire. But in Luke, and it's also in Matthew chapter 3, it talks about you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Why do you suppose the separation or the distinguishing between the Holy Spirit and fire? Well, there's several thoughts. And I called a good friend of mine that was a pastor for many, many years. And he basically had the same information that I had. And one additional thing that I thought of, and he kind of mentioned it, is the purification process. Now, when you are saved, you confess your sins, you believe in Christ, you believe that the scripture is true and what it says about Jesus, and you accept him as your Lord and Savior, you receive the Holy Spirit. Right? Is that what scripture says? When you receive the Holy Spirit in your life, when you confess your sins, are you purified? Are you completely mature as a Christian? One of the characteristics of fire is purification. It purifies doctor's instruments. It's used, and the scripture gives an analogy. I think I had it here somewhere. 1 Peter, gold. Gold is made pure by heating it. And today's method of extracting gold, it's not in its pure form. It's mixed with a bunch of other stuff. In order to get the gold out of it, what happens to it? Put through the fire. Crushed, and then it's put through the fire. And then you start separating. And then if you want the purest gold, you continue to heat it and you keep pulling off the impurities. It's called refined. You know what? I find myself in that situation. I need refining. Now, being heated, going through the fire is not a it's not a good process. Another term that the scripture uses in benefiting people of God is pruning. Pruning is given to a plant to help it produce more fruit, to make it a healthier plant. But I don't see cutting something off as being painless. I don't know what you're going through right now, but I know there are a lot of problems going around. There's sickness, there's difficulties, loss of work, loss of family, loss of loved ones, all kinds of difficulties, difficult jobs. But whatever trouble you are going through is not a wasted effort. Unless you choose to throw a tantrum, a child's tantrum, and you probably won't benefit, you know, from the problem you're going through. The same fire that is beneficial can be detrimental. The fire that you're going through, the problem you're going through right now, could very well be the secret to your success. You ever think of shepherd boy David? Had he never had Goliath in his life, you think we would know about him today? Maybe. But what we do know is Goliath put him on the map. Every churchgoer knows about David. Only a boy named David. Only a little sling. He didn't have much, according to the world standards. But what he had was imperishable. Had unlimited worth. Another thing, do you ever stop and think about everything that you can sense with your senses is very limited? Doesn't last very long. It's short term. What you can't see lasts forever. We live in such earthy activities, levels. We place almost everything we value according to our senses. And it's not here very long. So fire is not always a blessing. The same fire that heats your house can destroy it in a matter of minutes. The fire in your life, the difficulty in your life, it can benefit you or destroy you. It's how you're going to look at it and what you're going to call it. You call it good, God, I'm with you. You know, whatever you want to do, you know, I'm going to follow you. It'll be good. But if you call it bad, that's how it's going to affect you. We can't control what comes to our lives, but we do have control over what we call it. The label you put on each activity that comes to your life, you have control of that name. What starts a fire? Not very big, is it? You ever see, and I'm sure it probably happens, but you ever see a huge log that just burst into flame? Not without another source of heat, I doubt. A fire starts with the spark. We've had a lot in the last few years. We've had a lot of news items talking about careless sparks, smoldering embers. You know, a smoldering ember doesn't do anybody. It doesn't warm you. It doesn't, but it's very beneficial in starting a fire. If you need a fire, it's beneficial. It's the uncontrolled fires that are harmful. The same fire in your fireplace, built in your bedroom, built in the middle of the living room floor, yeah, you'll get some heat from it. But your house will be gone. Because it's not a controlled fire. God gave us restrictions and regulations to control the fires that we have in life. The marriage situation, which is, you know, the world just makes fun of Christians today. Well, that's old fashioned. You know, sex outside of marriage. God gave directions and limits so that you can control that fire. But you don't obey God's, and you can't control that fire, and it will destroy you. God's laws will break you or make you. You follow them, you will have life. You break them, it will break you. God helps us to control the fires that we run into all through life. We say, I'm a big boy now. You know, I'm not a kid anymore. I can. Well, just listen to the news, and you'll hear instance after instance after instance where we've gotten ourselves into trouble because, well, I can do it. Yeah, they made the mistake when they did it, but I've learned from their mistake, and you know, I'm different. It had not happened to me. You know, I can do that, and it's okay. The devil is a great deceiver, and that's what he's doing in that case. He's deceiving you into thinking, I'm God. I can do it. I can get by with it. Nobody will know. I really think David the shepherd boy, his success was made on the shepherd's field. You know, we don't hear much of his life in the shepherd's field except when he went to kill the giant. He said to God, the same God. So he knew who he was. It wasn't somebody that he had heard about. The same God that delivered me, helped me kill and delivered me from the lion and the bear, is the same God that's going to deliver you, Goliath, into my hand. You're defying the God of the living, the Creator God, the God of Israel. And he fell. David was made, his character was made on the shepherd's field. Nobody looking. He could have done whatever he wanted to. Nobody saw him out there. Except God. What's God seeing in us? When we're in our private moments, is he seeing something he can be pleased with? That person can be trusted. I can make that person a great person in the kingdom of God. He says, if you can be trusted with a little, I can trust you with a lot. And I've noticed, I think God's increasing the trust, but there are a lot of areas in my life that God keeps me kind of whittled down because, Daryl, you let it go to your head. and you wouldn't serve me. If you follow the children of Israel, it was up and down all the time. We talked in Sunday school this morning. Humanity's greatest challenge is not in how you deal with the problems, it's how you deal with successes. Because it seems to pat ourselves on the back. Look what I've done. Children of Israel, when everything went good, and then God told Moses, that's what you tell the people. Be careful, extremely careful, to follow all the laws that I give you today. Don't forget them when times are good. But that's what they did. When they really had good times, they forgot God. Look what we've done. And other nations would come in, take them captive, until finally they'd cry out to God, and God would deliver them, bring them back, and they'd rise up then eventually, have a great life. They'd forget God. Somebody has said, many people have said, we serve a great God. He wants to be involved in everything in your life. And one of the stories I heard, I thought was interesting, the Bible uses sports, it uses nature, this is a sports illustration. But a person that has been given in, for example, myself this morning. I'm in charge of the service. Let's just say, after, I finish that, I get all kinds of, I'm not expecting it, but I'm getting all kinds of, man, that was good, and I felt really good about it. And, so I've been asked to, I'm asked to do it again. I did it and it seems to be successful. I'm asked to do it again. It seems to be successful. The first time, I have bathed this in prayer, like practically nothing else before. Because I know, there's nothing that I can give you that has any benefit if it's not of God. Another example would be a Sunday school teacher where you're successful. You do it, and at first you're scared to death, and you're trusting God, and you're praying and asking, people, how do you do it? And the more you do it, the more success you have. And eventually you get to place, hey, God, I've got this now. I know how it goes. I've got this. You can rest now. I needed you all those times before, but you can kind of just sit in the corner and rest. I'll be all right. And the speaker said it's like a sports event, football. When you're asking God to help you, God loves to help. He's just that kind of a parent. He loves to come alongside you and whatever it is you need, he wants to help you with it. And he said, it's like you're going down the football field and you're following the leader. And people are just being knocked clear to the sidelines. You get to the end zone. Man, that was easy. Nobody touched me. And you do it again. Man, this is great. God, I don't know how to get to the end zone. You can rest again. It says it's not like God moves out of the picture. God moves across the line, and he looks at you and he says, "Okay." He goes on the other team. Now, why would God do that? Because he doesn't want you destroyed. Yeah, God would take you down, but he doesn't destroy you. If you read one of the verses that you hear quite often in Jeremiah 29, verse 11, I know the plans I have for you. Plans to build you up. Plans to bless you. I want to help you. I want to love you. I want to give you a life. Life that's beyond anything you have ever discovered before. Life to the full. He knows the enemy. He's out to rob, steal, and destroy. So he's going to go on the other side and, okay, come on. I'm not going to wipe you out, but you know, I'm going to knock you down. He does it lovingly, where the enemy does it filled with hatred. What are you doing with fire in your life? Is it destroying you? Or are you letting it benefit you? One of the things that I read that I didn't know on fire before was that charred wood, and they'll take wood, you know, whether it's a post, I suppose, it could be, I guess, a board, and they will char it. I guess you could call it blacken it. Insects won't bother a charred piece of wood. So if they're building something, they have trouble with insects, they may just char the wood a little bit. You know, sometimes God maybe wants to char to protect us from things that's coming our direction. We don't know about them, but he does. There's just so many uses in fire, and God says, I'm baptizing you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Another thing that fire does, it destroys. So if we do not obey God, that fire will be used for destruction. Now God never, never, ever sends anybody to hell. The lake of fire. But if you want to go there, he won't stop you. He did everything he could ever do to help you avoid it. But he's not going to make that choice for you. You have to choose where you want to spend eternity. One of the things that God loves to get involved in our lives, he likes to help us. We can't save ourselves. God helps us, but he gives us a faith so that we can be saved. After we're saved, you still need to do something. Faith is not the only thing involved. It says faith without works is no faith at all. If you don't have evidence that you have faith, in other words, it's not promoting the type of life that faith brings into your life, you don't have faith. And it also says faith comes from hearing, and hearing is from the Word of God. Some of the things that can create a dry, one of the things they keep warning on the radio is, you know, costing about burning because everything is so dry. One of the things that I think we need to be careful of is becoming dry spiritually. I think bad thoughts can lead to dryness. Questionable things we look at. Questionable things we hear. Questionable habits. Questionable hangouts can make us spiritually dry. Is there a danger in being spiritually dry? You say, I'll never have fire. Things burn very quickly when they're dry. They catch fire. You know, those activities I just mentioned are great kindling for fire. You know what it says in Ephesians 6:16? Ephesians 6 gives us the description of the armor of God. Verse 16 says, take up the shield of faith. Why? Do you remember what it says? Why we need it? To put out the arrows of fire. Remember? Who's shooting these arrows of fire? If you need a shield, they're not coming from your own people. They're coming from the enemy. You get dry spiritually, you're going to have an arrow of fire shot into your direction. And if you don't have some way of protecting yourself, there's a good chance you're going to be damaged. If you're a Christian this morning, if you've accepted God, you have a source of help that's beyond your comprehension. As he says in Jeremiah 29, I want to give you a life. I have great plans for you. He wants to help us in every area that we need help in. The question I have this morning is, do you know him? Is he somebody you can ask? He says, I'll never leave you or forsake you, but you have to ask him in. Let's bow our heads. Father, this morning, we ask that you would speak. The one that knows us so well, you tell us that you can divide the intents and desires of the heart. You love us so much. Even when you know us the most, Lord, many times I've asked you, why? I know who I am, but you know me better than I do. Why would you love me? Why would you love me enough to die for me when I could care less about you? I thank you. I thank you, God, that you love me enough to never leave me. To guide my life. You said you would provide everything we need to have a spiritual life. I pray this morning that we would hear your voice. God, would you speak? Would you help us to hear? You tell us in your word, my sheep know my voice. We wouldn't know your voice if you didn't speak, so we know you speak. Thank you. In Christ's name I pray. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6, God tells, or Paul is telling Timothy, fan into flames the gift that he was given, which is the Holy Spirit. Fan into flames. Fan into a fire. I don't know what God is asking you to do, but he wants you to take the gift that he's offered this morning. The gift of eternal life. The gift of his Holy Spirit. And he wants you to build a fire that he can benefit your life. As the organist plays, we're not going to sing this song. If you want to turn in your hymnals to it and look at the words, 275, just as I am, we're not going to sing it. I don't want you listening to anyone else but the voice of God. He's really the only voice that matters. As she plays through the song, obey what the Holy Spirit's telling you. I want to thank you for coming. Thank you for listening. I was so blessed in studying this I think I was awake half the night last night. The Lord was just speaking, showing me what God wants to do with fire, difficulties, how I can trust Him to be my shepherd, my leader. He will never lead me astray. And I was just praising Him. I mean, and I don't feel all that tired this morning. Folks, I tell you, we serve an awesome God, or we can serve an awesome God. You know, we quite often sing that song, God is so good. And He really wants to be. In fact, He wants to be a lot better than what we know Him to be right now. Someday, we will know His entire menu of goodness. Because the Scripture says we will see Him as He sees us. How does He see us? Is anything hidden? We have nothing hidden from Him. He says we will see Him as He sees us. We will see His whole glory. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.